It was my intention earlier to ask to have the song When I Survey the Wondrous Cross on the list today, but one thing leads to another. I never got to that stage, but it was nice that it fitted in. And I don't think these things just happen by chance. I don't think it's just they come together like that. God has a way and a purpose, and sometimes they're beyond our understanding. It may seem trivial, it may seem small and insignificant, but it is important. And there's a lot of that happens. What I want to talk about today is when Steve asked me to take one of the Sundays over the summer months, I had thought of bringing you something on the cross, just some thoughts on that. A massive subject, a massive truth, teaching in the Bible, but just a few thoughts on it today, just to get us thinking, just to get us encouraged. There'd be a challenge there for all of us when we read some of the scriptures relating to the cross. It's a wonderful subject. We can sing about it. There's so many of our hymns that are touching on it, mention it. But maybe it's not a surprise, because it's a fundamental, central part of our faith and our beliefs, isn't it? The cross and the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified there. So let's just read a few verses in 1 Corinthians to give us something to consider. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you have a Bible. I'm reading out the NIV, so there's refer to some other verses in the scriptures later on. Starting at verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is a wise man? Where is a scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world thought its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demanded miraculous signs and Greeks looked for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise, not by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and despised things and things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I'm sure God will bless the reading of his word. And the hymn that we sang at the outset, and even the last chorus that we were singing there, it talked about the tree, it talked about the cross. When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Wonderful words penned by Isaac Watts many, many centuries ago, years ago. And isn't it remarkable to think that we are still using the words of someone who wrote them and penned them all that time ago? I don't know if our legacy will be such enduring in terms of that, but what a wonderful words. As Malcolm was telling us recently, there are more verses, and sometimes verses get dropped off. Most of these older hymns had verses going into double figures, but it just gives an indication of the mind and the commitment and the understanding of these writers, that the cross meant everything to Isaac Watt. its last verse, the one that we would sing as our last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Words that we can read, words that we could write, and they would be easy. But to sing them, to say them, with meaning and with purpose, then that does demand all of us. And in a sense, he's getting here of what the cross is all about. There is a verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he says to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." The cross is very crucial, very central to our thinking, to our lives, and to everyone. It causes a great impact on the lives of all. It's a great subject, it's a great thought, and if we had to go back and study it, learn about it, it's something that wasn't practiced in the days of the Old Testament. Certainly not in the days of the verses where the psalmist could write, and the Isaiah, and look ahead to a form of punishment that wasn't available or hadn't been thought of or wasn't widely practiced. It took the Romans to come and to be the rulers of Palestine and most of the known world at that time. And this was their form of punishment for those who stepped outside their rules, their regulations, their way. Not for their own, but for others. And it was a very, very cruel, very, very slow form of death. It was meant to be a display of their authority and of what happens when you step outside of that and how they will punish, how you will suffer at their expense. It was there as a demonstration of we are in charge. Ultimate authority and rule. And often it was a case of putting people on a cross, often many at the one time, and often left there for a while so that people could see. We don't live in a world, certainly not in our country, where we see such displays of authority and rule and punishment. We are actually at the opposite end of the scale now, aren't we, where we are very lax and very sort of limited. We even hear it in our news, don't we? And there are so-called life sentences that come up for debate and decision and whether they are life sentences or not. And yet, here we have the ultimate penalty. There was no dubiety with the Romans and their form of punishment. It was the ultimate death. It was slow, it was lingering, and it was very, very painful. And where do we get here? We get in here the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on a tree. That was a curse. That was something that wasn't worthy for the Jews. That was something that they didn't want. Their form of death was stoning. But that wasn't what God's plan was. For God, there had to be one who would go on a cross. There had to be one who would take the sin of this world. And it had to be someone who was without sin, who had never sinned, who couldn't sin. And all that pointed to was the Son of God, who came into this world for that purpose, for that reason. And it was him who went to that cross. And it's quite a remarkable thing to consider and to reflect on. And I was thinking of some of the great hymns that we sing, new and old. And there's one that Keith Getty and Stuart Townend are involved in, a newer one, but it goes like this. Oh, to see the dawn of the darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by sinful men, torn and beaten then, nailed to a cross of wood. This, the power of the cross, Christ became sin for us, took the blame, bore the wrath, we stand forgiven at the cross. If we can just begin to encapture in our minds, our thoughts, our lives, what the cross is. And we read there in verse 17 that talked about